What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm Herms, joined as always by my good friend, Mr. Tyler O. And today, we are going to be talking about some bounce back players. Some guys that may have struggled a little bit last year, maybe let us down in our fantasy leagues, but we are pretty sure are going to come through for us in 2025. But before we get into our main topic, I want to ask you first, Tyler, as I always do, how are you doing?
Dude, things are good. Living the dream over here, just making fantasy football content, especially now that fantasy football season is squarely upon us. I was going to say it's July, it's June, but by the time we publish this, it will be July. July is officially fantasy football season for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everything's rolling around. Projections are out. Rankings are out. People are asking me questions. There's people asking me fantasy questions, friends, colleagues, whatever. That lays dormant pretty much January all the way through July. July, everything boots back up. I could feel it in my bones, Herms. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, dude, it's definitely here. And we're getting ourselves prepared for these 2025 redraft leagues. And now is time to talk about some bounce back players. And the first one we're going to talk about is somebody who is the subject of a great article that you came out with recently. I will also have that one linked in the description as well for people to read. You make a really good case. I'm not going to steal your thunder.
Thank you. So that's going to be CJ Stroud. But I do want to be clear that I don't believe he's going to be like a top five quarterback this year. I just think he comes back to form where he is a very good low end quarterback one. Somebody who you should be looking at as a late round quarterback option in your one QB leagues and certainly should be considering in your super flex leagues. I think we did get ahead of ourselves a little bit last year. Like, things were good in 2023. He threw for 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, took home offensive rookie of the year, took a 3-13-1 football team, turned him into 10-7 team with a playoff win. And I think we just got super excited and expected a little bit too much. And when things didn't go as well, we fell back a little bit too hard. I'll get into it, but he got extremely unlucky last year in a lot of different ways that I think people have to kind of, you know, fall in between. You know, we were low on him, too high on him. Let's land somewhere in the middle. But right now, his value, I think, in redraft is somewhat appropriate, but it's more so not just a fantasy take, but more of a real life football take where I think Stroud continues to be a very good quarterback in this league. And I think, you know, let's dive in just a little bit to kind of talk about, you know, some situation. Yeah. So he crushed it. You know, he was QB 11 his rookie year. I went back like 15 years and I tried to be like, what rookie quarterbacks were able to kind of like do this and what happened to them throughout their career? Should we be concerned about one down year, right?
Yeah.
And the quarterbacks that I found that had a great rookie year are the following: Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield to an extent, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow. I think the only quarterbacks that had really good rookie seasons but didn't really pan out, and this is going back deep, is Robert Griffin and Sam Bradford. And I think you contribute injury, especially to Robert Griffin, as to why things didn't continue the way they went. So for me, you know, you just kind of look at the names of these stellar rookie quarterbacks and their careers work themselves out. Like, look at, I think Baker Mayfield might be the best example of that. It's like, you know, he had a good rookie season when he was drafted by the Browns. And he got the start after a couple weeks. I can't remember. It was like week three or week four. He looked the part of a number one pick. Granted, the Browns are a disaster. And I mean, I blame the Browns more than anybody. It's clear to blame the Browns now because Baker Mayfield is cooking right now. To me, it's just like rookie quarterbacks don't have elite stellar seasons and just drop off like that. So we have to like keep that in mind that history is going to say like history is on CJ Stroud's side. Right. And I don't want to dive into all the metrics here. I kind of want to voice things over so you can check out the article. But all in all, basically what I'm getting at here is he was also extremely unlucky in terms of his TD rate last year. I see his TD rate increasing closer back to the mean. Yes, it was above the average in 2023, but it fell below the average in 2024. That can just even itself out to be average and already is throwing more touchdowns, right? He had a pretty unlucky season when it came to interceptions as well. This one I will voice over a bit because I think it's kind of important to dive a little bit deeper into. Is you look at, it's in our Stats Hub. Shout out FTN Stats Hub. Woo! He had a TOW percent of 3%. Now, TOW or TOW, I don't even know how we say TOW or TOW. Anyways, what that is, it's an interception-worthy throw rate, right? So like how bad are his throws? A percentage of pass attempts that are deemed interception-worthy. That's basically what that is. Players who had a higher rate than him: Darnold, Stafford, Hurts, Bo Nix, Jordan Love, Drake May, Geno Smith, and all these quarterbacks threw less interceptions than Stroud. So he just kind of got unlucky when it came to interceptions. Then you look at his wide receivers. You know, I don't have to go voice over the stats too much, but Dell got hurt, Diggs got hurt. There just wasn't a lot besides Nico Collins giving him a lot of help there. And then I think finally the point that I'll point out is Stroud, this part is important, is Stroud was pressured on 34.8% of snaps. A third, over a third of Stroud's snaps, he was pressured, right? So I think you kind of like, what does this all mean? Putting it all together. I think it was just unlucky in interceptions, unlucky in TD rate. That'll come up. He's got Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. Things should be better from a wide receiver standpoint. Pressure rate was terrible. They added Cam Robinson. They added Laken Tomlinson, who could be okay. And then they drafted, I'm gonna butcher this name, Herms. I hope he can help me here. But Arante Arisi, he was the Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, offensive tackle. They took him in the second round. Do you know how to pronounce that one, or am I just on my own?
Close. We're close.
Thank you. I don't want to get their names wrong. I mean, but they've addressed some of the wide receiver issues. They have addressed some of the offensive line issues. I don't expect it to be perfect. These aren't the biggest and baddest names out there, but it should improve. You add that with just being plain unlucky, and I think he is poised to take a step forward in 2025, return closer to his 2023 form. I think he is a guy that should be looking at late round in redraft leagues. Right now, his ADP, and I believe in redraft, is quarterback 15. I think that is too low, and I think he is absolutely a guy that we need to be considering that could return to his 2023 form and be maybe not a huge fantasy difference maker on a weekly basis for us, but a very solid fantasy option that you can roll out every single week and feel good about.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty sympathetic to the whole Stroud case because last year stunk, man. I think one of the biggest points that you hit on that I think really needs to be driven home, Tank Dell got hurt, yes. Stephon Diggs getting hurt was a huge blow to that offense. He was doing pretty well, serving a pretty reliable role out there. But then the other thing, Nico Collins himself with that hamstring missed, I think it was 5 games. So even the one guy he had most of the time wasn't around for the entire seasons. Just getting into the fantasy part of it all, though, the only tricky part with CJ Stroud is that, like, I agree with a lot of that. I am also looking forward to him being able to put forth that sort of low-end QB1 season again. But some of the other guys that are going around him, like, even 2 picks later in ADP, at QB 16, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he's another guy I like too, man.
But yeah, I think at this general range of ADP, people are just going to pick the guy that they like. And if that guy is Stroud for you, you've made a really good case for it. I'm definitely down for that. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk about another quarterback that I think could possibly be one of those bounce back players. But we got to hear some advertisements first. Woohoo! And we are back. It is Herms. It is Tyler O. This is the Crossing Routes podcast, talking about some bounce back players for 2025 that we are pretty excited about. You talked about CJ Stroud earlier. I have another quarterback that I think could be an interesting name to hopefully kind of get back to where people were feeling about him this time last year, and that's Jordan Love. I know the Green Bay Packers passing offense was pretty frustrating across the board last year. It's the reason that Jordan Love himself was disappointing. It's the reason that Jaden Reed, I think probably for my money, one of the biggest wide receiver busts, that didn't go well for anybody. But the issue that they had, I think, was the fact that they just had a receiver room full of guys who did too much of the same thing. What I'm talking about is something that I found out when I was doing some research for an article I came out with, you know, back at the end of March by surfing our NFL stats hub here at ftnfantasy.com. Free plug. There were a total of 70 different wide receivers and tight ends who registered at least 50 air yards per game last year. And on the Packers alone, they had just 2 pass catchers that exceeded that threshold. That was Romeo Doubs with 61 and Christian Watson at 62. Now, another way that we can look at this is the fact that the only Green Bay pass catcher to register an ADOT significantly above double digits, Christian Watson, 16.7 yards. The next closest guy was Romeo Doubs at like 11. And, you know, even Christian Watson's healthy basically half of the time if we're lucky. So that's not particularly helpful. So it's basically just Romeo Doubs out there, right? So they're not
sending the ball super far away from the line of scrimmage to target these guys very often. It's a lot of pass plays over and over again to this very specific part of the field. The leading target earner, Jaden Reed, tallied just 34.6 air yards per game with a 7.9 ADOT last year. And Tucker Kraft, who leading route participation percentage at 88.8% in this offense, 18.7 air yards per game with the very low ADOT of 4.5. So like, you're getting the picture, right? Matthew Golden being added to this offense gives them that dimension that they really need to take the top off of everything and make it so that Jordan Love isn't just constantly dinking and dunking to this very shallow part of the field. They can do more. They can push more. That combined with the effective ground game they have between Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd, hopefully being able to come into his own in his second season after being injured a lot as a rookie last year. I don't know. I just see a lot of upside potential in this new version of the offense that finally has that, you know, little quote unquote skeleton key to unlock everything. Do you feel any sort of good vibes about Jordan Love at all?
I would generally say no, to be completely honest with you here. I think for me, it really comes down to more of a team thing over a Jordan Love thing. You know, the Packers, I believe, were the second most kind of run heavy team in the NFL, not necessarily in terms of pure rushing, just in terms of percentage of, you know, how many plays do they decide to run the ball over pass the ball. And that percentage was the second highest behind the Lions. Like, for me, I don't necessarily see them deciding to pass that much more because they have a formula. In my opinion, works really well. They're good. They're good run blocking team. They run the ball well. Josh Jacobs is absolutely crushing. So I look at kind of, you know, what are we looking at in terms of kind of projections and how often, you know, I think Jordan Love is going to pass the ball. You know, Jordan Love did have a little bit of a shortened season last year, but still only threw the ball 425 times. The year before is 579, which is a good number. Currently projected, I have Jordan Love tossing the ball just about 530. Which is, you know, I don't know, to kind of give you a sense, like that is kind of low compared to guys around him. Like typically, yeah. Unless you're a rushing quarterback, obviously, like you generally want to see, like, for more of the pocket passers, that number to probably be around that 580 number. It's really tough to find like a non-pocket passer that I can get into my top 12 without throwing it, you know, closer to 600 times. So for me, I just think the volume of the pass is going to be down a little bit because I still think they're going to run the football a lot. So it does kind of unfortunately put him into this kind of like thick center of quarterback twos with CJ Stroud, with Dak Prescott, who we've mentioned before. And there's just enough guys that I'd rather draft ahead of Jordan Love. You know, those two names in particular, I have Justin Herbert, who's in that range. I got Brock Purdy that's in that range. These are guys that I just think are going to be better fantasy options who are going to be throwing the ball probably a little bit more than Jordan Love. So it's not that I don't like Jordan Love. He just finds himself in this category of QB2s where there's other guys that I just prefer more than Jordan Love. Not to say he's not, you know, a pretty decent quarterback. I think it just comes down to the players around him and the overall offensive environment that got me off of Jordan Love this season.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And I think, you know, one of the reasons that I brought up, you know, Dak Prescott's name earlier when we were talking about CJ Stroud was to, you know, kind of set the table for this, you know, bigger point about the fact that these quarterbacks that are going late, at least according to current ADP right now, I think that late round quarterback thing, at least if it stays this way, might not be terrible this year. So right now, the quarterbacks that I'm about to list, the highest one is going on average at the 908. So just for context, we're talking about 9th and 10th round picks here for the most part. QB12, Jordan Love, just got finished talking about him. Then QB13, Brock Purdy. QB14, Caleb Williams. Then CJ Stroud, Dak Prescott. And then even a little bit after that, all the way down at 17, Drake May, a guy that we've talked about on this show a couple times that we're very excited about. I think I might just punt on quarterback this year. If this keeps going this way, man, I don't know about you. I feel this is a bit of a treasure trove because there's a good argument for a lot of these players to take steps forward this year. And the value is just so good.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong at all because I think everyone in the world wants to be able to walk away from their drafts with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, but you're paying a fourth round pick premium, Jalen Hurts, for these guys. Yeah. You're taking these guys sometimes in the third round, probably the fourth round, like somewhere in that range. And you're passing up some really high quality players. Yeah, they're going to give you a little bit of an edge, probably 4, maybe 5 points per game on some of the names that we're mentioning. But, you know, what are you risking? Like you're risking a very, very high quality player to get one of these elite quarterbacks. And there are some pretty quality quarterbacks sitting there in this middle range. Drake May being one of the names that I definitely have been targeting a lot. So I certainly, if a, you know, elite quarterback doesn't drop a little bit, certainly have no problem rolling the dice. I think there's a lot of solid fantasy options to get in your one quarterback redraft leagues, probably in the last couple rounds.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. A bit of a tangent, but you know, I just really wanted to reiterate that. And also just a little bit of world building. I know in a previous episode, we talked about the fact that I am a proponent of taking one of the elite guys early. I'm not going back on that, but I am at least pretty excited about some of these late.
We can do either. We can do either. That's the beauty of this, Herms, is that yes. We're prepared to do any of this. This is what makes us good fantasy analysts is yes, we can make a case and we can be excited about doing early quarterbacks because we know it can work. If the value is right. If not, we can wait all the way to the end and go late round QB. You got to read the rooms. You got to mock. Don't want to go too deep here, but it's how it goes. It's not about having hard and fast takes. It's about taking what the room gives you.
That's very true. I mean, hey, but I don't know. The whole stay water thing, there's a reason. There's a reason we say it. It works every single time. There is one more player that I know that you wanted to touch on before we got out of here. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording. I think you make a pretty good point about this. It's something I hadn't previously thought about.
Yeah, so talking about bounce back players, we had the Jonnu Smith trade. Jonnu Smith is now one of your Steelers there. I don't know what this means for Muth. Don't want to drop down too far here. But I'll just kind of let you know how I kind of operate here. So I don't just make ranks and submit ranks just based on gut. While there is some gut into moving guys up and down, I usually run projections. I run weekly projections for my weekly contests and weekly ranks. I run full season projections, and as players get moved, I'm tweaking projections on a team level that help me inform to make my ranks. So Jonnu Smith moves. What do I got to do? I got to find. There's 100 targets that I had pretty much. Let's put it this way: I had 100 targets allocated this season for Jonnu Smith. He's gone.
Yeah.
There's not a tight end that's just going to swoop in and take those targets, ooh, right?
Definitely like, not be, on that roster.
Yeah, not no. on that roster. Like I don't even know who this. I don't even know who the starter is. I don't even know who those tight ends on that team are. Like I was just looking at them. They're nobody to me. I got to give 8 to 10% to some of these tight ends. But in the same time, like I'm not about to allocate a lot of those targets to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I think he's pretty fine where he's at. You know, give him a little bit of a bump. Happy to give Malik Washington maybe a little bit of a bump. But there's going to be a very condensed target tree between Devin Achane, Jalen Waddle, and Tyreek Hill. So I reallocated these targets, tried to make sense. I had to give like at least 10% of them to the tight ends. Like I'm not just going to not have tight ends in the game. So basically what that did is I already had Jalen Waddle sitting at, about wide receiver 27. I gave him a little bit of bump and Jalen Waddle moved up to wide receiver 19 for me, 18, ooh, 19, I should say at the time. So Jalen Waddle's a guy that now that I'm starting to look at things, like he is primed a bit for a bounce back. Yes, this absolutely depends. Can Tua stay healthy? Can he avoid the concussions? Because obviously, if Tua is hurt, this is not a good situation for Waddle or Tyreek. But again, we're not predicting injury right now. Tua is healthy. So where I'm at is Jalen Waddle is primed for a bounce back season. And if you don't think that's true, if you're saying, if you listen to this right now and say, Tyler, you're an idiot. Waddle's had two bad seasons after having two great seasons. I'm not in. Then you need to be drafting Tyreek Hill in the second round because one of these two dudes is going to pop off almost entirely. Like there's too much condensed volume between too many talented players on a good offense that we really need to like take a deep look into the mirror. And we can't be fading Tyreek and Waddle right now. You got to pick one. And I think the value of both these guys in terms of ADP is in a good spot to where you can just pick one or mix them both in. But for me, Waddle's in a prime spot to bounce back. Had a good rookie season. I would say a really good sophomore season. Pretty disappointing the last 2 years, but we can point to his health for a large portion of that. But for me, I really think Jalen Waddle at this point in time with Tua healthy and the roster the way it is, that Jalen Waddle is a prime bounce back candidate.
I'm with you, man. And yeah, to your point, there's definitely been a lot of that pushback that I've seen out there on Narrative Street from people. So, I mean, like, for context, you know, listeners, we're recording this the same day that the trade went down. I don't know how the chatter about this trade has gone down in the subsequent days since I can't go to the future. But I'm sure there are still people talking about, you know, Waddle flop, blah, blah, blah. You have to believe in someone, though. That is the thing. That is your ultimate point. It's going to be so consolidated, and it's only one of those three players, because it wouldn't make any sense. Like, is Durham Smythe still there? I don't know.
Yeah, they're getting – he's not – I don't think he is. They're getting – like, those three dudes are going to get 60% of the targets, no questions asked. Like, that's happening. So, yeah. And if you don't think – you think Waddle sucks and he's only getting 15% and he's not great – well, you better be taking a Chan in the first or Tyreek at the starter, middle of the second. Just don't avoid the Dolphins is what I'm saying here, because you pick a player and stick to it, because right now, in my opinion, all three of those guys are a little undervalued. And if you don't agree with me on one of them, then you need to pick the other one and just start playing that flag and going that way.
Absolutely. I will say, though, to our listeners, my final tip for the episode, if you want to draft Durham Smythe with the intention of him being the Miami Dolphins tight end, don't, because he plays for the Chicago Bears now. I was wrong. I got that incorrect. He has already said goodbye, much in the same way that we are going to say goodbye for this episode. Catch us again next week, where we will talk about something fantasy football related to get you ready for your 2025 leagues. I am Herms. He is Tyler O. We will have all of those fun articles linked for you in the description. Adios.
Is Julian Hill about to be the starting tight end?
I don't even, I barely know who he is.